All right. Good afternoon, everybody. We don't have a quorum yet, but we will call the meeting to order while we're waiting for quorum. And I can still open it up for public comment period, right, Matt?
Yeah, you can, Mayor.
All right. Is there anybody here for our public comment period? Asking once, asking twice, asking three times, hearing none, I'll close our public comment period. We will skip over our approval of the minutes and go back to that once we've reached quorum. And do we want to just go right to the sustainable CT presentation?
That would work well, Mayor. And okay. We have with us today, Jessica LeClaire from Sustainable CT. I'm sure many board members know Jessica. Sustainable CT has been working with our community for the past several years now, working very closely in partnership with towns and councils of governments. We've really made great progress, I think, as a state with their assistance. And Jessica is here today to talk about an important new service and program that they're adding to their portfolio. So Jessica, we can turn it over to you and any other of your colleagues that may have joined you today.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Matt. And thank you to the policy committee for having me here today to share. Let's just get right to it. So next slide, please. So today I'm just really grateful for the time to be with you all. I see a lot of familiar names in the participant list and some new names as well. So I'm going to give a quick overview of what Sustainable CT is, talk a bit about some of those updates that Matt mentioned, and then get to the good stuff, talk about some of the free technical support that we have available to all registered communities to work through our program if you should wish. And then we'll have some time at the end for any questions if there are any. And I'm going to try to keep today at a pretty high level. We can get into the weeds if anybody wants, but it's lunchtime, so maybe you don't want that. That's really all up to you and what makes the most sense. So as some of you might know, Sustainable CT is a statewide municipal certification program intended to help Connecticut cities and towns advance their overall sustainability. And we take a really broad look at that. So we're thinking about arts and culture, public health, housing, homelessness prevention, transportation, the local businesses, land and natural resources, really everything that makes a community whole. And at the core of the program, we have a menu of actions that cities and towns can pick from to work on to get points that can count towards certification if you wish. We have different resources available to towns to help you accomplish the various actions in the program, including technical assistance and funding. And at the end of the day, we're always excited to recognize our certified towns who've done great work throughout each year. So next slide, please. So I mentioned the program's made up of actions. That's really the heart and soul of Sustainable CT. Each one of the actions falls within one of these 12 different action categories. So I'm giving you a bit of the Sustainable CT nomenclature here. For folks who have been a part of Sustainable CT for several years, maybe you've taken a pause, there's been some big global things that have happened like COVID, it's all good. But if you haven't looked at the program in a while, you might see some new action categories up here. We are continually trying to refine the program and make sure that it's working for cities and towns, that is responding to the changing sustainability field, and that it is a dynamic program. We're always pushing forward. So the actions, again, are broad. The categories are broad. We're thinking about materials management, transportation, energy infrastructure, and operations. Within each one of these 12 categories, there's a host of actions and there's a host of sub-actions. So there's many different ways you can navigate your way through the certification journey if that is of interest. And the actions that you complete might lead to cost savings as a town. They might help you reduce greenhouse gas emissions. They might enhance your climate resilience, build your local economy, support your civic infrastructure, provide health and wellness opportunities for your residents, and more. Next slide, please. Oh, there you are. So just want to give one more slide. There we go. Some quick examples of action types. I'm talking a lot about actions, so this is what I mean. So we're thinking about actions that relate to watershed protection programs, arts and culture initiatives, agriculture-friendly practices. So many things that your communities are doing probably fall within the program. We're trying to build it in so that if it's something you've never thought of, there's a first step for you. So it could be watching a webinar, or it could be changing your zoning or passing an ordinance or creating a new program, so that there's a ladder of opportunity along the way with regard to whatever topical area is of interest for you for that particular action category. Next slide, please. So right now, we are 5 years old. We launched in 2018. And 131 towns are registered within the program. Many are on this call today. Our newest town just joined. So Westbrook, Connecticut just joined 2 weeks ago. So we're really excited to have a new community, and communities who aren't yet registered are welcome to join whenever you want, if you want. Currently, 59 towns are certified. And throughout time, all of our certified towns have completed more than 3,000 sustainability actions. So there's so much great work that's happening out across the state. I'll talk a bit about our community match fund at the end, but just want to do a quick shout out that there's been over 200 community match fund projects in registered towns, and almost $3 million has gone out to support these projects. That would be half of that, so $1.5 million from us, from Sustainable CT, and $1.5 million from community members, people who are voting for projects with their pocketbooks or wallets and supporting by giving $5, $10, $50 to see something really cool happen in their neighborhood. Oh, next slide. I'm trying to advance the slide on my screen. So I want to pause and do some shout outs to the CROG municipalities that are currently certified. You can see this region is kicking butt. So many of you are bronze or silver, and three have stepped forward as climate leaders. So we launched a climate leader designation last year. We had five. Your region has three. So you are the majority climate leading region in the state, which is really amazing. So shout out to Glastonbury, New Britain, and West Hartford for achieving silver and our climate leader designation, so that you're at the top. We've hit all of our levels so far. Really great work. Now I want to talk a bit about some of the updates that we've got for 2023. And every year we try to refine the program, as I mentioned. So when we hear from towns about areas of confusion or lack of clarity, or, you know, you do something in New Britain, a special New Britain way, how can we build that into the program? Well, we try to build into the program so that we're making sure that this really does work for all of our cities and towns. What we've heard from towns is that bronze is, it's good. It's a good base. So we've made actually no changes to our bronze level of certification. So it's the standard one equity toolkit, one action in each category, get to 200 points. So we've left that level of certification alone. For silver, we have added increased the point threshold. So we're asking towns to do 500 points of stuff, of good work, rather than 400. And this is really to keep up with our point inflation. So we've added many, many actions over the past years. So the possible points have really skyrocketed. So silver is a little bit harder, not too much harder, we hope, but still a reach for communities. And the exciting thing for 2023 is, drum roll, next slide, our gold level of certification. So finally, we've got gold. We're launching it 2023. We'll see how it goes, eager for feedback along the way. And what we're looking for at a high level from towns is to go deeper on equity, to do more with climate, and to collaborate with other communities. So the going deeper on equity means you're completing 4 equity toolkits. So you do 1 for bronze, 3 for silver, 4 for gold. And the equity toolkit is a process of intentional engagement and co-creation. So you're doing a sustainability action with people rather than for them. That's sort of the quick level assessment of that. And I'm happy to go deeper into it if anyone has questions. And then we're asking you, along the lines of going deeper on equity, to do the other 2 actions within our equity category, which would mean you attend or host an equity training for municipal or board of ed staff, and then you adopt an equity statement as a community. We do offer equity trainings that if you have a certain grouping of people attend our equity trainings, you can come, it's free. We'll offer them three times throughout the coming months. Anybody's welcome. If anyone wants a registration link, I can share that. Hopefully it works for you. So we're really trying to make this an attainable goal. Going deeper on climate, we're asking Gold Towns to achieve our climate leaders designation. And what that is a curated list of actions within our existing action framework. So we're saying these actions will yield greenhouse gas emission reductions and or climate resilience enhancement. So they're going to make your town prepare and prevent for climate change. And if you work through the climate leaders actions, we're asking you to score 150 points within those designated actions. And the last bit is to collaborate with other municipalities on any action of your choice. So this is really to work and lead with another municipality, at least one. You can do multiple on, projects that could be like a multi-town trail, hiring a joint sustainability coordinator. Happy to brainstorm more. And we've got options and examples on the website that I can share out as well. And then you get to 750 points for gold as well. So we're on the climate leader slide. We can stay here. Just some quick updates. Last year, in our pilot year for the climate leader designation, we focused on greenhouse gas emissions reductions, so mitigating climate change. We heard from towns that they wanted to also be thinking about how to respond to the impacts that we're seeing currently, so building in resilience. So we did that. You can see some of the new actions here that are within the climate leader designation framework. So we are thinking about resilience, and we're working with state partners to think even more about future resilience actions so that we really can be a state that's responding to what we're seeing on the ground right now. Next slide. All right, one more slide. So I'll talk a bit about some of the supports that are available to registered towns. So if you're registered, you're certified, these supports are available to you. You don't have to be thinking that you want to get certified to work with any of these different supports. They're here if you want to complete an action or think about something new, whatever it is. Really just want this to be a resource available to you. So we do have equity coaches on our one slide back. I'm going to spend a minute on this slide. So we've got equity coaches on our team who can work with your community one-on-one at no cost on any of our equity actions or anything that comes up that might not be related to equity, but you want to talk to an equity professional about it. Something happened in your town, you want to have a voice or an ear to bounce ideas off of, they're here for you. We are also expanding our equity coaching team. We had an RFQ that wrapped up on Monday. So we're in that process now of reviewing all of the applicants and moving forward this quarter, really building out that cohort. We offer different workshops and trainings for towns to complete various actions. So when we're hearing from communities, areas of interest or common questions on actions, we'll try to host some sort of webinar or workshop. An example, we were getting many towns asking questions about how other towns were using their mini liquor bottle funds. So we had a webinar on Friday about that. So we featured several communities who are using the funds right now, let them share out their ideas, and then had sort of a group conversation about innovative ways to use that new source of revenue for towns. We have different partners that we work with who can provide different technical assistance opportunities to communities at no cost. An example, we work with the Nature Conservancy, and they provide community resilience building workshops to towns. These are really wonderful sessions where TNC walks you through a process where you identify your strengths and vulnerabilities to climate change and natural hazards. And you also identify your strengths, your vulnerabilities, and come up with a sort of an action plan of how to move forward to reduce vulnerabilities and enhance and build on strengths. And we have our fellowship program. And you are probably pretty familiar with this program. We usually have two fellows at your COG each summer, providing direct support to whoever wants it in the COG who's registered. And the fellows can do all sorts of things from figuring out with you where you might have some points scored. They can help you upload materials to your application. We've had fellows help towns like Manchester design a sustainability summer camp. They've worked and done GIS projects in towns. Really, the sky's the limit. And the amount of work that they can do in a 40-hour work week is mind-bending. So we're really grateful to towns who help us keep them busy. And we will have fellows out at CROG again this summer, and we're really grateful for that continued partnership. Next slide. So I'll wrap up by just mentioning our Community Match Fund. This is a one-to-one matching program where anyone in a registered community can, you know, put forth a project. Anyone at all. So this could be the town, the city, a commission, it could be a nonprofit, it could be Jane Smith who lives on Main Street, who has a really neat idea that aligns directly or indirectly with one of our 70 diverse actions, this project has to have a public good, and we'll match it up to $7,500. There is more funding available for projects that have a climate or energy benefit. But we are really excited to see projects get up off the ground. So we've had over 200 community-led projects happen. So there's composting that's going on, pollinator pathways, people purchasing EV charging stations, climate change education events, all sorts of stuff, murals, just lots of really neat stuff happening that people want to see. They're giving $5, $10, $25 to see this project happen in their neighborhood. And these projects are up. You can go drive around and see them now, which is really cool, really exciting, and something that all of you have access to right now if you're registered. So if you have ideas, happy to connect you with our Community Match Fund manager. And that's actually it for me. So if anyone has any questions, happy to take them here or offline, and always available to talk with any community.
Thanks so much, Jessica. Does anyone have any questions for her? All right. Thanks for being with us today, Jess. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day, all.
Thanks, Jessica.
Oh, Jess, we have just one comment from Robin Nichols. Just wants to know if you could put your contact information in the chat box.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Robin.
All right, I have been made aware that we do have a quorum, so I'm going to go back and look for a motion to approve the minutes for the December 21, 2022 meeting.
So moved, Madam Chair. John Coleman.
So second, moved, Lori Spielman.
Mr. Coleman, and seconded by Lori Spielman. Any questions or comments on that? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Matt, we'll go into our monthly reports. This is your show.
All right. Thanks, Mayor. And I'll try to move through these as quickly as possible. We do have an important executive session on the agenda for today. I am down in DC at a meeting of the National Association of Regional Councils, or NARC. Gotta love our acronyms in government. But anyhow, it's been informative learning how other COGs around the country approach the bipartisan infrastructure law, affordable housing, and a host of topics. And today is our legislative action day, so I'm actually having the opportunity to meet with the staff for our federal delegation. You know, the three congressional offices, and then I've got the two Senate offices this afternoon. So it's good to have that opportunity. So talking about our legislative agenda, as you know, we had planned for a virtual update in early January. Given some scheduling challenges, we have now moved that, and it's been rescheduled for noon on February 2nd. And we've invited our entire 58-member state legislative delegation. The policy board is certainly available to attend as well. We'll make sure that you get the invite. In the interim, because the session has started, Kathy Lutz, our lobbyist, and Jason Bauza, who's our legislative committee chair, and I, we've been monitoring proposed bills that relate to COGS, and we've been meeting with key legislators to discuss items on our agenda. Just moving forward, and I should have said this at the beginning, the full report is loaded online so you can read it at your leisure. The three RPIP grants that we received, again, we're excited about this for animal control, assessment and building and code enforcement, where we can establish three regional programs there. We're going to be working in concert with our Municipal Services Committee to coordinate all of that. In terms of next steps, we're going to focus for workload purposes on assessment and building and code enforcement services. So we'll focus on that. We're going to meet with the towns that have signed up for those two programs. Now, if you didn't sign up, but if you do have an interest in participating, please email Pauline and myself, and we would be happy to include you. So looking forward to getting those programs off the ground. Moving on to the bipartisan infrastructure law, spending a lot of time on that this week. As I said at this conference, we are seeking information from you in terms of what federal programs you might have applied for. We understand that this is coming fast and furious, these notices of funding opportunities. We're trying to do everything we can to support you. There are a couple of key NOFOs and applications that are coming up soon, such as the RAISE grant, that discretionary program. There's a program for culvert removal and replacement as well. We are very focused here at CROG on the next round of Safe Streets for All funding, which is going to be due earlier than we expected. It's going to be due in April. And we really want to take a lead role here in terms of fleshing out a potential application for our towns to consider. And we'll work closely with our transportation committee on all of that. Moving forward under the area of municipal services, we did just issue a grass seed and fertilizer bid. Actually, that closes tomorrow. So we want to draw your attention to that. We're collecting quantities for a fuel bid. That's going to be issued on February 2nd. Keep an eye out for that, please. On the waste management side, we're expecting any day now to get the phase two draft report from our consulting team, RRS and Tetra Tech, and they're developing short-term 1 to 5 year solutions for our region. I did see the governor's proposal that came out yesterday. I'm sure many of you have too. I immediately reached out to one of the deputy commissioners at DEEP that I know, just to give him an update in terms of where we stand and how we saw some opportunities for our Central Connecticut Solid Waste Authority to play a role in the future, a larger role than it has in the past, because now that MIRA's role has diminished significantly. Let's see, just moving on here quickly in the area of planning now. We are finalizing a regional survey that we're going to be sending out that's focused on the opt-out provisions relating to the ADUs and the parking minimum requirements. We're also looking for feedback on the new training requirements for land use commissioners. So the extent to which towns can reply to that in a timely basis, we'd greatly appreciate that. In the transportation area, we did just distribute early December, we distributed our solicitation for LOTSIP. We held a pre-application workshop on January 23rd, just 2 days ago. Applications are due on February 22nd. So I know LOTSIP is one of our most popular programs, and please keep your eye out for that if you haven't seen it already. And then the last item I have for today, Mayor, is that we do have a new website, and like any website transition, there are always a few items you miss and that we need to add after the fact. But, we've received some very positive feedback on it already. Really want to thank Aaliyah Miller and other members of the CROG team for their excellent work on that project. That completes my report, Mayor. Happy to take any quick questions anyone may have.
All right, great. Thank you, Matt. Does anyone have any questions for him? I don't see any. All right. Except for one. That's for Laura. Do you see the comment or in the chat box?
Yeah, sorry. For this Safe Streets for All program, is the COG looking at putting together a combination application for towns? Because it seems like that program was too big to encompass a lot of the things that individual towns wanted to do.
I can speak to that briefly. And it really depends. And that's what happened this past round. And Farmington did take the lead as being a lead applicant. This next round, it really depends on what happens with if that application is successful or not. We may be repackaging those projects along with new ones together. But yes, you can repackage in Safe Streets for All projects. They encourage projects to be packaged in one application that all reference the Regional Transportation Safety Plan as the core document that links them all together. So we will be looking at submitting something of that nature, whether it's through CROG or through Farmington, depending on if they get the prior round. But yeah, we'll be looking at something with multiple towns.
And if I could, Mayor, if I could just briefly add to Rob's comments there, I need to make a correction to what I said earlier. The NOFO for Safe Streets is going to be released in April. That's not the submission date. So very important correction there. And then, Eric, in response to your question and to build on Rob's comments, you know, we understand that preparing a multi-town application is a very heavy lift. We were fortunate last year that Farmington stepped up and took the lead on the implementation grant. And we see a need for CROG to play a larger role in that regard in future rounds. So I've asked the staff to work on developing the outline of an implementation grant based on what we know that we can take to the transportation committee and refine and look to submit.
Thank you.
Peter, I believe you had a question as well.
Thank you very much. I just want to extend my appreciation to CROG staff for all of their work on the regional incentive program grant applications. That's fantastic to be able to get three of the four approved by OPM. So thank you very much to Matt and team.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks. Any other questions? Okay, we'll move on to Kathy Lutz with our legislative update.
Hi there. Matt actually covered a number of the things that have been going on. We are just 3 weeks into session. The deadline for individual legislator proposed bills passed a few days ago, and we are already up to 2,500 bills in the system. And Matt, we may want to talk about how to limit what you're getting. You must be overwhelmed so much of what is proposed in one way, shape, or form involves municipalities. So we can talk about that. The public hearings are beginning right now. All committees and public hearings are both in person and virtual. Sessions are going to be held in person, and the building is by and large mostly open. Still a lot of different things happening with lawmakers having the option of doing a committee meeting or hearing virtually from their office, even if they're in the building. So it's still a different day there. You probably saw three legislators were one sadly passed away, and two legislators were not sworn in because they are planning on or have already taken a different assignment. So special elections are scheduled for February 28th. That'll be three elections on the same day. And that's about it. As I said, you're going to be getting a lot of information from us, and we'll try to categorize it. But right now, the process stands at proposed bills, decisions being made, whether to move them along to create an actual committee bill. Some topics you probably already saw. Cannabis regulations, it will clearly be a big piece of the conversation this year. And of course, it's the start of the biennium budget work that the Appropriations Committee will start doing. So that's about it that's happening right now. Just the usual beginning of session, sifting through all the new data.
All right, great. Peter, got a question for you, I think.
Thank you. I just wanted to make everyone aware that there is a proposed bill number 5034, which is talking about delaying the implementation of the motor vehicle property tax assessment changes, the methodology. And I know that's a big issue we need to keep an eye on in terms of the lost assessed value as they go from the blue book, quote unquote, blue book methodology to the MSRP depreciated schedule. My viewpoint or perspective is that we're all going to lose assessed value based upon the new methodology or many communities will. So it's a proposed bill number 5034 by Representative Zawatowski. And so just something to keep our eye on. I'm going to get more information, so I'll pass it along through Matt if I get anything noteworthy.
Thanks, okay. Peter. Anyone else? All right. Thanks very much, Kathy.
Thank you.
Peter, what was that bill number again?
5034.
Thank you. All right. At this point in time, we're going to need to go into the executive session. So I would like someone to make a motion and to, in that motion, invite Matt Hart, Pauline Yoder, and Gary to be a piece of part of that discussion. So I'll entertain a motion.
So moved. Bob Bessel, Canton.
Thank you, Bob. Do I have a second?
Second, Wendy Maxtudis.
Thank you, Wendy. All right, we're going to enter into executive session. We've got to go into a special breakout room and have Matt, Pauline, and Gary with us.
Yep, I'm putting in everybody at this moment. It'll be just a few seconds.
Thank you, Laura.
Wendy, oh, I feel bad.
Okay, John, I could use you with that motion now.
I move that we resume our regular session.
Second, Bob Bessel.
All right, we are back in at 12:53. And with that being said, we'll move on to our action items. And the first one will be the approval of the lease that was just discussed in executive session. So I will entertain that motion.
Madam Chair, I'd move that we authorize the executive director to negotiate a lease at the Metro Center and bring that back to the executive committee for its review and action.
I second that, Lori Spielman.
I have a second by Lori. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, thank you. Resolution 9, authorizing an agreement with Yale New Haven Health Services Organization. Do I have a motion?
So move.
Second?
Second.
Thank you, Bob. Cheryl, did you want to...
Sure, Mayor. We applied for a third grant. You've seen a couple of these recently from the State Healthcare Coalition for training funds for our Capital Region Medical Reserve Corps. We were approved for just under $16,000, and this resolution authorizes us to enter into an agreement to accept these funds.
Thank you. Are there any questions? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Resolution number 10, we're going to approve a contract execution between CROG and Grossman Solutions for CROG's strategic visioning exercise. Do I have a motion?
Don't move, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Thank you, Bob. Matt?
I just speak briefly to this item, and we did discuss this with the executive committee as well. You know, as I've been talking about throughout the year, really would like to engage in a strategic visioning exercise to help set our priorities for the next few to several years. And we, see a lot of value in that, obviously, and having the opportunity to work with our staff team on things like organizational values and mission and vision, bringing that all to the policy board for your input as well. So we did form a project selection committee comprised of CROG staff and asked John Coleman to participate as well, given his long experience on the policy board and as our TC chair as well. We conducted a competitive bidding process. We did receive a number of responses from qualified consultants from across the country. And I think virtually everyone who applied could have done the work for us. The firms that we interviewed, all very strong, but we did want to, we would like to retain Grossman Solutions for this engagement because we were really impressed by their understanding of CROG in our region. They are local. We always like to work local when we can, and their proposed fee was also very competitive and fit within the budgetary allocation we made for this project. I would like to thank Elizabeth Sanderson on the CROG team for her good hard work in supporting the selection committee to date. So if indeed you approve this, and we hope that you do, this would be roughly a 6 to 8 month project, and looking forward to getting underway here. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Are there any questions regarding resolution number 10? All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next item, we've got our MPO items. Number 11, our TIP amendment. Do I have a motion?
There are no TIP amendments, Madam Chair.
Oh, sorry. I'm not even reading. I'm looking at the Oh, all right.
We are expecting a bunch next month, though, Mayor, so we'll be able to catch up then.
Okay.
Juan, you screw up with me here. You just put it on. Take it off the agenda if it's, there's nothing. Number 12.
Madam Chair, this is the annual conduct safety performance targets. They have not changed. They have the same targets as they did last year. Unfortunately, the target is let's put it the other way. The number of fatalities this past year significantly exceeded the target we had for last year and the target we have for this year. So hopefully we can at least make it to the target this year. The Transportation Committee has reviewed and endorsed these targets and recommends the same to the Policy Board, and I would so move.
Second, Eric Anderson, Town of Andover.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Eric. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Information and other items. Matt, we have some handouts here. Letter of support for the Connecticut Recreational Trails Program grant.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Just one item to bring to your attention today. And this is a letter of support for the Hop River Alliance's application to the Recreational Trails Program grant, which probably many of you are familiar with. And this would be, this project would help build out the system in Eastern Connecticut. And we were happy to support this initiative.
Great.
Hopefully they get the grant.
Any questions or comments on that? All right. Is there any other business today?
No other business today, Mayor.
All right. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move, Madam Chair.
Second, Lori Spielman.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned. The time is 1:01 p.m. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.